What time is it? Spring. Early in the morning, just before Passover. On the western border of Jerusalem, a parade was entering the city. Armored men mounted on horses, weapons glistening in the sun's bright rays, drums beating. The Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, was making his way back into the city from his seaside home in Caesarea for the holiday. Pilate is not coming, of course, to observe the holiday, but to keep the peace, to remind the Jewish people who were gathering to celebrate the Passover, to celebrate their liberation from Egypt, lo, those many years ago, there was to be no liberation from Rome. No revolts. No uprisings. At the same time, there's another procession entering the city from the east, silhouetted against the sunrise. The center of attention is this man, Jesus of Nazareth. He's said to have healing powers, that he can even bring dead people to life. He teaches and he opens up the scripture in a way that no one has ever done before. Could he be the Messiah, the one we've waited for? A crowd had accompanied him from Bethany, where he had spent the night in the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And as people heard he was approaching, a crowd gathered along the roadside to see him as he entered, not in a chariot, accompanied by the thunder of horse hooves and drums, but quietly riding on the back of a donkey. The sign was clear to those who had gathered. The reference to the messianic promise of Zechariah 9:9 had their hearts beating harder than any drum beat could ever beat in their ears. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The promise of Zechariah was there silhouetted against the sunrise. They knew he was the anointed one, the king for whom they had waited. Yet, because of the scriptural prophecy, surely the deeper meaning of him riding on a donkey was lost on those who gathered. Kings rode horses when they were going to war. Kings rode donkeys when they came in peace. In their excitement, they cut palm branches and waved them. Palm trees were a sign and a symbol of righteousness, and palm branches were a symbol of victory. Every year at Sukkot, the festival of booths, when they celebrated the arrival of God's people, Israel, into the promised land, after they had been wandering in the desert for 40 years, the men and the boys waved something called luvav, a bundle of willow and myrtle and palm branches bundled together. As the choir sang psalms that are known as the halal, the hymns of praise, the last one of which is Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna. And then 200 years before Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, when Judas Maccabeus had restored the temple, palm branches had been used in the rededication ceremonies, the remembrance of which now is Hanukkah. So palm branches were used in praising God in worship. For the Jewish people, they were also a nationalistic symbol as they continued to struggle against their occupation by Rome. N.T. Wright points out the significance of Jesus entering on Passover and the people responding with the celebrations that they normally held for Sukkot and Hanukkah. He says it is like us celebrating something similar to Easter. Christmas and Easter traditions all mushed together all at once. Suppose we decorated the sanctuary with Easter lilies and the chrismon tree and the poinsettias, and we sang Joy to the World, and we had the children waving red ribbons and palm branches while we passed a candle one person to the next. Any onlookers would wonder, what is this celebration? It was all of it at once. It was the turning point. The time has come. Augustine said that the turning point, not just of the history of evil of Israel, but the history of the entire world, had been reached with the arrival of Jesus. He said that history had been moving toward this moment from the beginning, and the rest of human history would flow from it. The crowd is singing Psalm 118. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then they add this phrase, the King of Israel. The crowd is hoping for the restoration of their nation, freedom from the Roman Empire. And yet, he's riding on a donkey, a king who comes in peace. That is not the way the rest of the week will go. How often do we sing God's praises, hoping that God will come and fix it all for us? When we hear the time has come, what are we hoping for? There were two parades that day, one of might and power and force proclaiming its dominance as it came on war horses, and one of humility and meekness and invitation proclaiming it came in peace. Which one do we choose to be a part of? Jesus chose. He said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And unless a seed gets buried in the dark, damp earth where it swells and it bursts and a shoot that is new grows up from it, it just is going to be one seed. But when that shoot grows and bears seeds itself, it spreads. And rather than a wheat seed, you have a wheat field. Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor points out that if Jesus had saved his life, if he had gone on a speaking tour, written a few books, there's no telling how long his movement might have lasted. 100 years maybe, or at least until the books wore out and fell apart. But because he was willing to lose his life, because his message mattered so much to him, that he was willing to show people what it meant instead of just telling them about it. His seed bore much fruit. Jesus died to fill the world with wheat. We are the seeds of this generation. The question is, where is God calling you to be planted? Because the time has come. Where are you called to humbly give your life away? Maybe it's literally planting a garden and then giving the produce to an urban desert in Memphis, where produce isn't readily available. Maybe it's contributing to One Great Hour of Sharing so that another community will have a garden. Maybe you will give and package meals for Rise Against Hunger. Both One Great Hour of Sharing and Rise Against Hunger are working to end hunger in our world by the year 2030. The time has come. Maybe you are called to give your life away by speaking up and speaking out on an issue. Maybe God is calling you to befriend a guest at Room in the Inn or a resident at St. Teresa House or to support a friend who is going through a crisis or a challenging time. Maybe there's another ministry at the edges of your thoughts, tugging at your heart. Where are you called to give yourself up? As we wave palm branches and sing hallelujah, welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem, we have a choice to make. Which parade are we going to join? Will we be planted with him? Will we accompany him to the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane? Will we stand at the foot of the cross? Are we willing to be broken open so that new life can spring forth from us? The time has come. our king, has arrived, humbly riding on the back of a donkey, knowing the suffering to come. Will we follow him? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.